Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we have Ross Swenson of Big North Guide Service on Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota. In this conversation, we highlight the sturgeon fishing on Lake of the Woods. It's a really cool fishing opportunity. It's been a while since we've talked about it at all, and I don't think forward sonar was around or very popular. Last time we talked about the sturgeon fishing up there, you know, that time talking about the Rainy River and Lake of the Woods as a whole, that fishing opportunity. And Ross is one of the most active guides up there that is doing that. So it's really fun to talk about that. And I tell you what, obviously the walleye opener is right around the corner here in Minnesota. So we definitely talk at length about that as well in the back half of the show. So that being said, we've got Ross Swenson, a Big North Guide Service. We're talking Lake of the Woods, walleyes, and sturgeon. Let's get to it. Northland Fishing Tackle has revolutionized the soft plastic market for walleye anglers when they came up with Eye Candy. The soft, limber action, the stretch and durability, the ability to absorb scent, those are just a few of the reasons that make Eye Candy so desirable for walleye anglers. If you're looking to get your hands on some Eye Candy for the first time, or you're looking to stock up, Northland Fishing Tackle has made shopping easy with their Eye Candy Kit. Their Eye Candy kit comes with over 100 pieces of eye candy, an assortment of colors, and all the different styles that they offer. I'm talking about the grub, the jig crawler, the night crawler, the minnow, and the paddle shad. They even throw in a pack of tungsten jigs. Check out the link in the description of this podcast to check out the Eye Candy kit. It's the perfect summer getaway. I'm talking about Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the Rainy River, and the Northwest Angle. It's a big spot on the map. The perfect scenery includes 14,000 islands. The fishing opportunities are perfect for anglers on every level. It's the walleye capital of the world. Perfect summer fun, resorts, and lodging. It's all waiting for you. Families and corporate groups are welcome too. Come see for yourself. Better yet, come fish for yourself. If you need help, there's charter boats and fishing guides. The magic of Lake of the Woods is waiting to be discovered by you. For more details, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. So here we go, man. Well, Ross Swenson, man. Long question short. Where did your fishing career start? Where did this all start for you, man? What's your story?
As a kid, I've always wanted to fish. I was that kid that would skip school to go fishing. But my family did a bunch of fishing. We'd always go fishing every chance we could. It just, once I was old enough to pick up a fishing rod, and my family can vouch for this, it's done. Storybook ending there. I fish every chance I can get. If I'm not fishing, I'm talking about it. Growing up to Lake of the Woods was kind of awesome because you can go there and be there fishing. In 20, you know, 15, 20 minutes after school, I'd fish every in the river in Roseau, you know, I'd go down there and I'd bike 3 miles, 4 miles one way just to go fishing. It was pretty neat. And once I started, I was hooked.
You grew up, I mean, Lake of the Woods, you grew up on that body of water. That's your home body of water. Like you said, Roseau, that's where you were born and raised then?
Yep. Roseau, not too far from Lake of the Woods. I'd call it a suburb.
What age? Like, what were some of the, you know, memorable experiences in your life that you feel like led you to becoming a guide?
I always knew I wanted to be a guide. I just never pursued it right away. I've always been kind of nervous. You just hear about making this jump. Oh, it's so hard. It's scary. It is very scary. I started with Ice Castle Rentals, just doing the wintertime stuff, trying to build my clientele up. And I figured, I had enough, you know, clientele or, you know, clients coming in the winter that are like, you should do summer fishing. So I started summer fishing, I think full time a couple summers ago, you know, just the wintertime led into the summer. And I wish now that I'm doing this, I would have made the jump years ago. When I wanted to, but kind of got talked out of it. And as a kid, and you know, they push you in schools and stuff to gotta go to college, gotta not diss in college or anything, or gotta go to college, gotta do this. But I wish I would have went right out of high school. It's just something that I I'm passionate for. I love fishing. I love taking people out fishing and, you know, giving them a time that they're going to remember, teaching people, you know, what I've learned through the past of fishing, because we all know everybody fishes a little different.
Yeah.
And if I can give somebody something different out of it, I mean, that's great. And I can remember as a kid one time, I can't remember what resort, but I remember watching these boats go out and watching these people go fishing. I was like, I'm going to do that one day. Like, I love fishing so much. All I talked about as a kid, my family and friends were like, yeah, you need to shut up about it. Like, you just talk about way too much. That's all I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting a couple of guys. Most of them are nice, but I don't remember the guy's name. And that I met this guy, and he was kind of not the nicest guy. And I'm like, I looked at him and I was like, I'm gonna be a fishing guide just so I can, you know, treat people a lot better, you know, to give them experience and not get a bad guide.
That probably has a big effect on guiding today, where as a guide, you know, how do you prepare so that you know that you can give your clients who are spending, you know, their hard earned money and their quality time, you know, in your boat? Like, how do you ensure that you are the right man for the job?
Every group of people and that I take out, you know, you learn really quick about the people. I mean, you're spending a whole day in, like, just say if I'm guiding for in my boat or pike fishing, you're spending essentially the whole day in tight quarters with these people. Not only, you know, they're spending their hard earned money to go fishing, but I mean, I can joke around a lot. People are coming, they're going to have fun. We catch a big fish, you never know, I might end up dancing out there. You know, like, we're just out there having fun. Like, I try to give them an experience that they're not going to go out at the end of the day and be like, man, that guy was a jerk. You know, like, I don't want that. And people shouldn't have to have that.
You know, like Lake of the Woods, I mean, you grew up on it. It was probably the source of so much of your inspiration and everything like that. Like, what do you think, as a guide, you fish there a lot. Like, what makes Lake of the Woods special for you to want to guide there?
That's a good question. I would have to say you never know what you're going to catch. I might go out fishing. I might set the hook on a 12-inch walleye. Next time I set the hook, it could be, you know, that 30, 32, whatever, 32-inch walleye. There's just always that next hook set could be your trophy fish. There's so much trophy caliber fish in this lake, and the different types of fishing you can do. I mean, you can literally that morning go out there, you can start off a piece of structure, a flat off a point or a rock pile. By the end of the day, you can be in 3-4 feet of water fishing completely something doing something completely different, but still catching the same fish. There's just so much of not knowing what you're going to, the next hook set could be, but then there's so much different areas to fish. It's like a kid going into a playground. It's like, what do you choose?
That's the thing with Lake of the Woods, is that it offers so much. Like, it's such an interesting place being as big as it is. But it's diverse. Also, just, you look at the infrastructure, like, it's a destination that has, like, it offers a lot to a lot of people. I've said that before, like, it's like the most turnkey, you know, destination fishery we have here in the Midwest for, like, the most amount of people. I don't mean just, like huge numbers of people because it's a big lake. I mean, like, the spectrum of, like, people that want to go fishing. It, you know, there's a spot for, you know, families, or it's like a corporate group deal, or it's, you know, hardcore anglers down to novices, you know, that hire guides. There's, you know, the charter captains, there's guys like you that are a little more hardcore. You got your boat, you're out there, you got, you know, you're a little bit more nuanced with this stuff. And I kind of want to get into that here eventually, but just, you know, learning about you and what you love about Lake of the Woods, I think it's interesting. Everybody's got their own story, and you being from there is definitely cool. Your guide business as it stands today, like, what are your offerings?
Wintertime, I run fully loaded ice castles. I fish strictly the west end of the lake. So like out of the War Road, Swift Ditch, Spring Steel, you know, that area. I run fully loaded ice castles in the winter. When we start transitioning from there to the ice going out, which is starting to become some of my favorite, is pike fishing. I offer fully loaded guided ice fishing trips for pike. I got Crew Cab Ranger. We go fish these. I supply everything on that. I started a couple years ago, didn't know where it was going to go. I just had all these people that were like, hey, man, we see your photos. You should really start, you should start guiding this. And I started doing that. And it's a fun transition between the ice to summer fishing. And then usually, like this year, I literally, the day I came off the lake from ice fishing, I had a day to get my boat ready, completely get it ready, and I was on the Rainy River sturgeon fishing. I offer fully guided sturgeon fishing trips on the Rainy River, as well as boat trips in the summer on Lake of the Woods.
And in the summertime, you're back over to the west side?
I'll go wherever I gotta go. What's nice about Lake of the Woods, depending on the direction of the wind, there's always, me being in my little boat, what we'd call a little boat, not a sport, yeah. A sport craft. But to me, I mean, my boat's not small, but it's small compared to a sport craft. We can go, and I can go somewhere to get out of the wind. If the wind's coming from the wrong direction, I can go, say, launch at a different access point where a lot of these big boats can't. They're stuck in that area. If they can't get out of there, well, they're stuck fishing that area.
I want to spend a little bit of time. You said something there where, like, this time of year you do some of that sturgeon fishing. That's kind of a niche thing, and it's definitely growing in popularity. I want to spend a little bit of time on that. I got some questions for you, because I don't know. It's kind of fascinating. The popularity around it is very, it's very cool. I mean, it's easy to see, to say, like, well, they're a big fish. Who wouldn't want to catch a big fish and bend a rod? But there's a lot that goes into it. It's kind of hard to do yourself, just because you got to buy a bunch of equipment or whatever that's just for it. So it'd be kind of an investment there. The guide services, guys like you that are out there doing that, I guess, tell me a little bit about that. I mean, describe kind of the fishing, the fish patterns. Like, I know nothing here. So, you might have to just kind of give me the whole little synopsis there, but let's spend some time on this sturgeon fishing. I think that'd be fun.
Usually I'm still pike guiding when people start putting their boats in, like down by Birchdale, stuff on the Rainy River. So usually I'm pike fishing till at least the bay starts opening up. And once that bay starts opening up the lake, and the lake starts opening up right through the gap, we see a big, tremendous push of the sturgeon, lake sturgeon. You can get into the bay. I'm not per se any spot on the lake that you can go out there and fish them, but there's definitely spots where a majority of these fish will hang out for a while till they make their next push. They will push. It's almost like big waves, like mallard, like ducks and geese making their migration. These sturgeon come in big waves. You can see them on live scope, sometimes 9, 10, 12 of them on your screen at once. It's kind of fun watching them now with live scope. Never used to have live scope up until the last few years. I mean, you would go there back in the day, sturgeon fishing, you'd go out sturgeon fishing, and you'd only see a couple boats. And if you saw a couple boats, you'd catch a couple sturgeon. That was a great day. And now you go out there and there's boats for miles and miles and miles. And there's some days, like I had just the week ago, we caught over 60 sturgeon in a day of fishing with four rods.
That's wild.
And anywhere from, a lot of small ones, but you can see. And what's neat about a sturgeon to me, like, I'll pull up into an area and I'll pay attention to my electronics. I'll drive around the flats or the holes that I like to fish, or the areas where I like to fish. Cause you can be, to me, you can be in the completely wrong spot and seeing them on your sonar. Like these fish like to suspend in the water column. They'll jump completely out of the water. Like,
right.
And so you can be in a spot where all these sturgeon are hanging out in that water column, in the center of the water column. They're not eating. Sturgeon feed off the bottom like a sucker. They're roaming around the bottom eating. And I can go through an area and be like, okay, these fish are down right now. These fish are feeding right now. And granted, fish will, they'll bebop up and down in that water column all day long. But now with, you know, live scope and stuff, I can pull up into an area. I put my trolling motor down, spot lock, and, you know, we cast out the side of the boat and out the back of the boat, and you just let it sit on the bottom. And if you can put yourself into a situation where these sturgeon are funneling through with these pinch points that are feeding on the bottom, you can have some of the best fishing, that not only because they're big fish, but just sheer numbers of fish. And we got to learn, I learned a little bit this year that with using live scope, that watching these sturgeon, how they react on the bottom is kind of, it's a game changer. Because I was fortunate enough to watch my brother the other day said, well, look at this big one over there. It was circling the bottom. It was kicking up stuff on the bottom, and it would swim a couple feet over and turn around. It was feeding in that spot. You could see the sediment and stuff it was kicking up. So he cast it over to it, watched the bait go down. Sturgeon was turning into that spot where I was feeding. And literally he goes, I got a bite. Watching him set the hook, watch that whole sturgeon move. And it's just like, okay. So that fish is feeding in that spot. And it's neat to actually be able to try to target them individually now. When they're on the bottom, it's like, that's a big one. Let's try to catch that one. Doesn't work always as planned, but it's fun to try that. And you can follow these big schools from the lake usually. So they come into the gap, they come into the bay, and then once they start pushing, they get to their spots that they like on the river. Like some might stop in the first holes upriver. Some might stop in the current area. Some of these fish will run all the way to Birchdale. You know, they run up the river to their spawning spots. And some are residents to the river. Some stay in them holes all year long. So it's kind of neat.
I think that's really neat. And I think that forward sonar, you know, like that's such a big topic, you know, in all of fishing nowadays, you know, tournament fishing and just anybody that has it, you know, I mean, we're just learning a lot from it. It heightens our experience. That's got to be a big part of that too. Like you're a guide, people are in the boat. They got to love to, you know, look at that screen and see you, you know, wave that transducer around and you're seeing fish and, you know, and you're kind of, you know, educating them a little bit. But also too, for you, this might be my question is like, you know, you're from up there. You've been fishing sturgeon for years before forward sonar ever showed up. Like, is there any like big happening or a big like aha moment for you with forward sonar, as far as like maybe just like how you fished them before, or maybe what you thought was going on before, and you know, maybe you debunked it now, or like what would you say would be the most like the biggest revelation with the sturgeon fishing now that you have forward sonar?
To me, back then, you would just go out and you'd throw your anchor. If you would throw your stuff, your bait over the boat, you know, with your weights, get everything on the bottom. If you sat there for a while and you didn't catch anything, you would move. You know, now with all the sonar advancements, I pull into these areas and mark it first and be like, yeah, they're schooled up right there. Or I can look and I see them on the bottom. I know them fish are feeding. It's weird because I've just started using forward-facing sonar for sturgeon this year. I've never really – last year I started to use it, but I never really would call – you know, some people call crack the code. I still don't think I've found it, figured it out, but I can see how they're reacting on the bottom with live scope. Like if they're – you know, some of these fish go nuts, these sturgeon go nuts on the bottom.
That's awesome.
And you can really see what they're doing down there. Like I said, my brother's the big one he caught. We watch that thing turn around and in circles for a while before it actually before we realized, hey, we got to get a bait to that one. Like, we threw it there, watched, reeled up, dropped it. He dropped it down to where it was, and even could have been luck. But I've did it now a couple times where I'm seeing all the reacting to the bottom and reacting to the area that they're in, and it, you get a bait there and they're eating.
Getting back to the opportunity and the popularity with that, like, you know, talk a little bit about sort of the industry of it all, like the popularity of catching sturgeon and why you think that is.
A lot of it is to me, it's like, I always tell people, it's like going deep sea fishing without going to the ocean. With you can hook into some of these fish and you just never know. You're trying to catch a 70 inch fish, 80, 100 pound fish. It's not uncommon to see people with 60 to 80 pound sturgeon. And so it's the pure excitement, saying a lot of people that don't get to do this too often have never caught a sturgeon before. And I mean, people say they've been around since the dinosaurs. So, you know, we like to say, hey, you just caught yourself a dino.
Yeah. Like,
there's just something about them that I'm still, some people don't understand, but until you actually catch a true Rainy River or Lake of the Woods, you know, Lake of the Woods, Rainy Rivers, Lake Sturgeon, until you actually get to feel that pure power. I've seen in my day, I've seen grown men like fully in shape run marathons, catch two of them, and they're tired. They're wore out. They're done for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. When they're biting as good as they can in the spring like this, you know, having them numbers of pure, of them sturgeon with that pure power, there's just something else about it. And the power of them fish, that big tail, that big body. And it's weird because once that sturgeon figures out, I don't want to come off the bottom, it's almost a waiting game. It's, you get back 5-6 feet, that sturgeon might say, okay, I'm going back to the bottom. And it's like they suction right back to the bottom.
It's the perfect summer getaway. I'm talking about Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the Rainy River in the northwest angle. It's a big spot on the map. The perfect scenery includes 14,000 islands. The fishing opportunities are perfect for anglers on every level. It's the walleye capital of the world. Perfect summer fun, resorts, and lodging. It's all waiting for you. Families and corporate groups are welcome too. Come see for yourself. Better yet, come fish for yourself. If you need help, there's charter boats and fishing guides. The magic of Lake of the Woods is waiting to be discovered by you. For more details, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Northland Fishing Tackle has revolutionized the soft plastic market for walleye anglers when they came up with Eye Candy. The soft, limber action, the stretch and durability, the ability to absorb scent, those are just a few of the reasons that make Eye Candy so desirable for walleye anglers. If you're looking to get your hands on some Eye Candy for the first time, or you're looking to stock up, Northland Fishing Tackle has made shopping easy with their Eye Candy Kit. Their eye candy kit comes with over 100 pieces of eye candy, an assortment of colors, and all the different styles that they offer. I'm talking about the grub, the jig crawler, the night crawler, the minnow, and the paddle shad. They even throw in a pack of tungsten jigs. Check out the link in the description of this podcast to check out the eye candy kit. They really are exotic. Like unless you've caught a few of them, you know, they're just such an exotic thing almost. Like it's a total big game species, you know, this size. You know, I just think that it's just worth pointing that out, because, you know, I mean, like, it is kind of a niche thing. I mean, it's probably not for everybody out there, but people that are just sort of seeing it on social media and just kind of like the growth of it all, like this time of year, you know, you know, seeing all the pictures, like, you know, what's that all about? You know, like why would you want to go and do that when there's, you know, walleye fishing going on right down the road or whatever it is? But it's like, man, there's definitely a draw to it, and there's not many places outside of saltwater, you know, and we're here in the Midwest, so saltwater is pretty far away. You know, there's not many things that we can do that could replicate that kind of fishing experience, or just, you know, just catching a fish like that. And So yeah, man, no, that's cool, man. I'm glad we're, you know, spend a little bit of time on that and give it a little love, because I think it is a really, it's a really interesting and unique fishing opportunity here in the Midwest that, you know, that's where it happens. Like if you want to, you know, try something new like that, or, you know, if you're interested in it, I mean, you know, guys like you is who we have to hear from. But anyways, you know, that being said, you know, Lake of the Woods, we got to talk about walleyes, you know, looking at, you know, the walleye opener and, you know, kind of like that, the, you know, the spring, early summer season. What does that usually look like for you?
For me, walleye opener is usually jig fishing. I love to jig fish. There's, you actually get to feel that bite. Usually around opener, everybody knows Rainy River, the fish will, you know, push up into their spawn. But what people don't understand is the whole lake, I mean, the lake's giant. Not every fish on Lake of the Woods runs to the Rainy River to spawn. There's all kinds of creeks and ditches. I mean, a lot of these fish spawn on some of these rock piles with current area. And to me, I love opener because I can get into some of these areas, these shallow areas, and vertically jig these fish. And they're coming, a lot of the times they're just coming off their spawn, and they're hungry. They're eating, and you can catch sheer numbers, and usually in big fish mixed into it. Some of these big, the, like we'd call them big girls, they're coming out of their spawning area, and they're going to eat. And it's magical because you can get the sheer numbers of walleyes in a spawning area, in an area where they just come off the spawn. It's kind of neat. And you don't have to travel very far for these fish. You know, some of your normal spots, like the normal traditional openers, are really close to access points, and you don't need a big boat, or you don't need to go out to the areas. You don't need to do that. So it's fun. These fish, you can follow them throughout the season. You can follow them, you know, starting up in their shallow water, their spawning areas. You can follow them, and some of these fish, you can stay on them most of the season.
What are some of those key elements when you're breaking down water or you're trying to look for some productive spots? Like, what are some of those key elements of the day that you're taking into consideration as to whether or not you're going to fish there at all, or what you're going to, you know, choose for presentation? You know, just what's that conversation look like?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the wind. I really like wind-blown points. I'll say this. One of my favorite spots on Lake of the Woods is, you know, the South Tip Whiskey Flats area. The wind-blown points, you got a wind coming into them points over there, that sharp break. I mean, you go from Whiskey Flats, you can go from 23-ish feet to 30 feet, you know, and not too far. A lot of these fish will stack up in there, ambushing their bait, you know, the predatory fish. They're waiting for them bait to get pushed up in there. In the springtime, like opener time, you can usually, water temps dictate, depending on when the ice goes out, water temp dictates where I'm going to fish. A lot of times I like that 40 degree, you find that 40 degree water, 41 degree water over the 35, 36, 36 degree water. It just seems like they're feeding more into that, and everybody knows about on the Rainy River, a little warmer water is always better. And you can find them, like, some of them rivers and creeks, they will produce a pretty crazy mud line coming out of them if there's a lot of runoff. But this year we don't have the runoff like we normally do. So there isn't going to be the mud lines to stay off the side of, you know, to just get better water clarity. But for the most part in the spring, you know, there's a lot of variables there. It's a lot of it's going to depend on ice out. We've seen it where there's ice 2 days before opener. We've seen it where ice is going to be gone a week, you know, or weeks before opener. So that's going to be the biggest thing. I'm going to look into that before. Next would be the wind. You know, which way is the wind going to become, which way it's going to be pushing up onto them point, what side of that point I'm going to set up on.
So like this year, you know, you're mentioning like the conditions this year. I kind of want to narrow it down to, you know, even like this year, the conditions this year, what are some of your predictions? You know, just thinking ahead, right? Like anybody listening to this, we're just thinking ahead. We're anticipating the next season. given the conditions we have now, knowing kind of how the winter went, you know, remembering how you did it last year, you know, what would you say your prediction is for the opener this year?
I still think that there's going to be some fish. There's still going to be fish up shallower, closer to their spawning areas. I think a lot of these fish, last year, prime example, it was a little later ice out. I think we were still on the ice April 22nd pike fishing. I found the fish to be up in an area that was about a mile away from where I like to fish, where I usually start. I think this year they're going to be back into their normal, where I like to start would be a little farther out on the point more. There's a little flat out there, one of the points that I like. I think the fish are going to be out there more. I think the water is going to be a little warmer. And another thing this year, the water's clear, the clearest I've ever seen it. And I think that the water is going to warm up a little more. We're going to have ice out sooner. I think the fish are going to be out a little farther than up, you know, shallower. Their spawning stuff's going to be done sooner.
Sure.
So I think they're going to be a little deeper. Instead of the targeting, my side of the lake where I fish is a heck of a lot different than the east side of the lake. We have a little more structure over here. So we're not just going and waiting for these fish to push out of the river. It's not long and they're in 30 feet of water over there. You know, we have more structure than coming out of Pine Island. So I can set up on different structure over here. And a lot of that's going to be, you know, wind determined on where I'm at on that structure. But I think these fish are going to be pushed out a little farther on the structure.
Every year has its own flavor, you know, and if we're smart enough to record these conversations, if it does ever happen again, where it's close to the same, you know, we can remember truthfully, you know, what it was like. It might give us a little leg up, you know, on any given year. You know, typically as anglers, we tend to forget, or we tend to bend the truth too much to ever remember accurately what happened in the past. But yeah, man, no, I appreciate that a whole bunch.
I try to write my stuff down at the end of the day, if I can remember, I go back to my book, my guidebook, and I try to write down stuff like, okay, so I was here. We'll just say opener last year. I fished, we'll just say 12 feet of water. I'll try to go in my book and write down, fish 12 feet of water, you know, ice out conditions were this. This is the water temp. I try to make a log about it, just so I could go back. If I'm struggling on a day on the water, I can think of it. Okay, where was I last year? This water temp's about the same. Conditions are about the same. I need to go over here.
You know, a lot of guys, they kind of swear like, you know, I try not to log too many waypoints, or I try not to journal too much because the conditions change. The fish are always moving. You know, you're never going to get to go back. But like what you're describing is you're just kind of describing the conditions and maybe some of the key elements to your success. It's not waypoints, you know, that you get so dependent on. I think that, you know, paying attention to some of the environmental conditions can be really, really helpful. You know, when you're trying to put a pattern together for a season or from season to season. Absolutely, man. I think that's probably been pretty beneficial for you over the years.
Absolutely, because a lot of people get stuck on fishing memories. And I've been in that situation before. I do some tournament fishing. I go to Winnie, you know, a couple tournaments a year, and the last few years we have a spot where it's been our bread and butter. We go there every year, but the last few years it hasn't been paying out like, you know, paying off like the years in the past. So, you know, we're starting to, you know, that's when I started with guiding and writing the stuff down on my books. I mean, just fishing memories like that. Now I'm going back. Okay. Water temps, this water clarity's this. I think these fish are going to be over here. Cause last year, a lot of people said Lake of the Woods, it was a struggle last year to find fish. Well, I found fish in areas I've overlooked my whole life. I mean, it was crazy to find some of these fish that in areas I've never even thought about fishing. I never even would have fished them. And now I've found some of these spots. I was all by myself for a few weeks and some of the best fishing I've ever seen.
Yeah, man. Well, what's the story there? Like what got you into that? Did you just get wind blown off of your spot and you ended up randomly on some fish, or was it a blow day that forced you into, you know, a place you didn't want to go and it paid off? Like, what's the story there?
There's two of the spots that I found. One of the spots was like, man, these fish aren't up here. Like, nobody would go to this area till a certain time. Everybody's got in their head, say if this spot's going Father's Day or by July 4th or by August 10th, these fish are in these areas. Well, it was that time of the year and these fish still weren't there. Like, these fish were not where they should have been from years past. And I'm like, well, I was thinking in my head, I was like, these fish push from this direction. I was with clients. I was like, hey, we've already had a great day. I said, do you guys want to do some pre-fishing with me? You know, and they're like, yeah, let's go. And I'm like, you know, it could be the greatest thing out there. It could be we go there and it doesn't work out. And I pulled up into this area because what they usually follow this area up, and it was a mile, almost two miles away. And from where they should be, where they usually are at that time of the year. And I pulled up in there and I'm like, well, the bait's here. The water's what it should be, and started looking around, and it wasn't long after we were doubling and tripling out of what I would call beautiful Lake of the Woods eaters, 17 and 19 inch fish. It was like that for, you know, 2-3 weeks.
Well, I mean, like, what's the structure like? Like, what's the pattern you're trying to follow?
Well, these fish are pushing up the shoreline. They're from one of their spawning spots. They're pushing up a shoreline, and then they like to go out to this deeper reef. Well, I found these fish pushing, following, you know, the same areas where they were going, but they weren't pushing out as deep. They stayed up shallower, a sandy, gravelly bottom instead of out in the mud. And the only thing I could think of is the minnows. The minnows stayed there. We've been having a perch boom on this lake. The last summer, perch fishing was awesome. This winter was the best perch fishing I've ever seen. I had clients catching limits of walleyes and their 20 perch a person. And we don't usually, that's crazy. You don't, you know, people are saying, oh, I caught 100 perch this weekend. And it's like, whoa. And I think that had a lot to do with we had the flood 2 years ago. So these perch and these fish got to go in and spawn in areas where they never got to before. They got to be out of the elements of the main lake in a backwater swamp, you know, or the cattails farther up, these ditches farther up. I think they got to go in there and spawn, and we had the best spawn year for minnows, for perch, you know, for stuff like that, bait fish for these. And some of these fish that they were, when we'd clean them, they were full of these 2-3 inch perch.
Yeah. And they're definitely shoreline oriented.
And that's where I started, you know, I was just like, okay, there's a lot of them around there. And then once you figure that out, okay, now you start looking, okay, well, these fish aren't in, they're not in these other spots like they should be. Then you would, you know, you'd put two and two together with that. Okay, those are a little shallower. This is what they're after. And then you go into there and the perch are ridiculous up in the other spot. And it's like, all right. And then you find the fish in there and it's like, okay. I think a lot of these fish last year didn't push out like they normally do.
Yeah.
And that's last year. It's going to be interesting to see if it's like that this year. Some of these shallower spots that I found fish last year, if they're still going to be there this year, because they were there most of the summer last year, and that was quite fun.
You know, you kind of mentioned something there right ahead of that story that, you know, you do a little bit of tournament fishing. You go down to Winnie. I mean, I you know, that we hadn't really talked about that whatsoever yet, but like, you know, you're from Lake of the Woods. You grew up fishing Lake of the Woods. You're a full-time guide on Lake of the Woods. But I got to imagine, I mean, you know, like doing a little bit of tournament fishing or going to another body of water and fishing somewhere else just to come back and fish Lake of the Woods with a fresh set of eyes, that's probably not that easy for everybody. But like, you know, for you to do that, you know, just that little bit of tournament fishing, even if you don't cash a check or hoist a trophy in that tournament, is probably highly beneficial just to, you know, just learning how to fish and break down water and find fish. Cause man, it's hard on a body of water where you have endless life, a lifetime of memories. It's so hard to break through that and go and find fish somewhere new I mean, I think that's true for a lot of people. That it really is. Like, fishing memories is such a big deal for you to be able to break through that. Like how would you say, like, tournament fishing really contributes to how you find fish on a home body of water that you have so many memories on?
You learn something new every day. And I look at it when I've brought a lot of my Lake of the Woods stuff to Winnie. People are like, the lake's too clear, it can't be done. And a lot of the stuff I've learned on Winnie, I've brought to Lake of the Woods. And, you know, two different lakes, two different, you know, Winnie's very clear, very, a lot of deep structure, a lot of deep breaks, a lot of flats. Well, I've learned that, like, the leaders on, like, spinners, like, different spinner lengths. Lake of the Woods, everybody, you know, you get stuck in your own way, a 2 ounce bottom bouncer, a 2.5 foot crawler harness, you know, that's your lead from your weight to your spinner, 2.5 feet. That's all you need. Yes, it works. Don't get me wrong. It works. I've learned when I went to Winnie that we're running longer snells because it's a clearer lake, but I've taken back, like, you ran bigger blades on Winnie, and I brought that up back to Lake of the Woods. And I'm like, I'm running blades on my spinners I would never even thought about running. That just seemed too big. I'm running longer leads. You know, I've ran anywhere from 8 to 10 foot spinner leads on Lake of the Woods because I did it on Winnie, and it works. And it's weird. Like, watching the fish progress on these flats with them baits, like, you know, the spinner leads, how it works. I mean, you want to learn something that you want to find something that's going to give you a little edge. And that's, I like to, you know, say, like, it might not catch the most fish, but if it can put in one or two more extra fish throughout the day for my clients, that's what I need.
You know, there's definitely a couple conversations somebody can have when you're talking Lake of the Woods where, you know, there's probably, you know, what's the lowest hanging fruit? You know, what's the easiest way to just catch a limit of eaters or catch as many eaters in a day? And then there's another conversation, like, I've had, you know, talked to people on the show before, you know, in the same regard, that, you know, a conversation around catching big fish on Lake of the Woods. I mean, it's like two different conversations to have. And it just kind of depends on who you are and what you want to get out of your fishing trip, you know, because it, you know, either or isn't for everybody. But correct. Yeah, like, you know, I just feel like for you, you're a guide, you do some tournament angling. When you can blend those two together and, you know, try not to get stuck in so much of a rut, getting stuck in your ways so much as a guide on your home body of water that you have a lifetime of memories on. And then, you know, blending, you know, some of your tournament experience, when you leave that body of water, you come back with a little fresher set of eyes, or it's just not that hard. It's not as hard for you when things are tough on your home body of water to say, you know what, let's try something that's a little different than I've ever thought about before. That doesn't come easy for everybody. Not everybody's just born with that. That's a learned behavior, and it's hard to learn unless you leave, you know, go somewhere else, put yourself in a competitive situation like a tournament. I love promoting that stuff just from the learning aspect, because I think that's true, that, like, you know, just people can really, really develop as anglers. You know, you can really cut your learning curve when you know, get outside your comfort zone a little bit and go somewhere. You know, maybe you're testing your mettle, and maybe you're testing what you think you know to compete. But if, you know, whether you win, lose, or draw, if you can pull something away from that, if you can learn something, you know, some little nugget that can be valuable to you down the road on in a different tournament, a different body of water, or, you know, say you're guiding and you have those guys in the boat, the bite is a little bit weird and tough, you're still trying to figure it out. And it's like, hey, you know what, I've got some theories here, I want to go check it out. If you guys are, you know, if you're willing to ride with me, we might burn to the ground. But, you know, let's just go pre-fish. Like, you know, if I was a client in your boat, that's exactly what I'd want to hear you say. I would not want you to go have a bomb of a day and then just blame it on the fish. Like, well, they're always here this time of year, it's their fault that they're not, you know, and you just go there and you just do, you know, stuck in your rut, kind of, so to speak.
I look at, like, me and my tournament fishing partner, we click really good in the boat together because we're not afraid to try something outside of the box. We always say it's only stupid if it doesn't work, But we've brought some stuff to the table where it's like, we've actually won a few tournaments together on Winnie. And it was just like, man, it works. And that's great. And the best part about it is there might not be anybody that is doing that. And then I'd bring it back to Lake of the Woods. I'm like, man, it worked down there. Bring it back here. And I'm like, oh man. And it works. I'm like, this is epic.
Yeah.
This is a game changer. And I'd be like, first to tell the people, like, hey, this worked for me down there. It's working here. You can bring this back to your body of water that you like to fish on, and it might work for you. And, you know, it might not just be a Lake of the Woods thing down here. If you want to take anything out of this trip other than, yeah, oh man, we caught a bunch of fish, or if it's slower, you know, you learn something, like, hey, I might say, hey, this might work on your body of water. You should give this a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get that question asked a lot. Like, how would you come to my lake and, you know, and dissect it? And, you know, I'd look at them. I'd be like, well, I'd look at a map first. I'd fish, you know, the points. I'd talk to bait shop, but, you know, people like that. But if you look at some of the fishing spots, the community holes, right? You got your community spots. Same with Lake of the Woods has them. Winnie has them. Every lake has them. Devil's Lake, they all have them. Everybody's doing the same thing. Try to do something different. And, you know, it might be something on your spinner. It might be something on your jig. You know, it's just something different. And to me, like, on what I'm not going to say the thing on Lake Winnie because it's been working in clear water. What we're doing is completely different than what everybody's been doing for years. And that's worked for us. And it has worked really well for us. And that came off of what I learned off of Lake of the Woods. And now that I've learned a few things on Winnie and brought back to Lake of the Woods, my clients, I'll tell my clients straight out, like, this is your lake's kind of like this. It should work for you. You know, separate yourself. If everybody's doing the same thing, do something different. Think outside the box. It might not work right away till you get confidence in it. But once you get confidence in it, it could change.
Yeah, dude. And those are the stories, man. Well, next time I want you to be thinking and writing that stuff down, because next time we come on, I want to talk about some of that stuff. Just some of the things that, you know, you bring from one body of water to the other, and just kind of how it pays off. I think those are really, really fun conversations to have, because, you know, those are some of the toughest things as anglers. Those are the toughest things for us to do, because it requires, you got to be open-minded. But anyways, yeah, dude, I mean, unless anything else just like pops up into your head, this has been great, man. It's been great to get to know you, Ross. I love the stories. I just, and just some of that reflection and talking about the sturgeon fishing. I think that's a really unique thing. I'm glad we were able to kind of talk about that and highlight that. But to close this thing out, I mean, if you think of anything, go for it. But I would ask is, you know, if anybody has anything that they want to ask, or if they want to find you or reach out, where can they find you?
I have a Facebook page, Big North Guide Service. That's where I do most of my business. I also have a website, but everybody's Facebook seems to be key nowadays.
Right on. And that's, you said Big North Guide Service?
Yep. Big North Guide Service. I'm always open to chat. I'm always to chat fishing. I have people that have asked for questions that don't even guide or don't even rent for me, or, you know, come on a guided trip. I've helped a lot of people out in the past, and they've came back to me and said, man, thanks for that advice. It paid off. Like, you turned our trip around. I'm always, to me, I feel I'm always eager to help a fellow fisherman out.
Yeah, man. Good karma. That's big in fishing, right? I mean, you don't even have to be superstitious to know that, you know, just being good is good.
Yeah, it speaks a lot. You know, karma goes a long way. Hey, they might come back and say, hey, this is what I figured out in that spot, what worked for me. Well, now I learned something.
I appreciate the time, Ross. And, you know, we'll be in touch for sure. I'll get this